this coming week's parsha, Parsha's Kisaitse, right? It says Ki Yikach Ish
Isha,
right? Ki Yikach Ish Isho V'Ala. We're going to read it inside in just a second. That's the parsha of Erison of Kiddushin. So it uses the language of Kicha. Uksiv Hasam, and what came to Avram Avinu's purchase of the Maris HaMachpelah, the Torah writes Nasati Kesef Hasadeh Kach Mimeni, right? So that's how we know there it was an exchange of kesef, right? So that's how we know that kiyikach also means that you can marry by means of kesef. The kicha ikri kinyan, and the language of kicha is a language of kinyan. Ditziv hasada asher kana Abraham. The sada about which we said, Nasati kesef hasadeh kach mimeni, that same sadeh, is now referred to as asher kana Abraham. So apparently the kach mimeni was a kinyan. So if you put all this together, kicha is the source of, kicha is the source of kesef, and that is a kinyan. And therefore we say ha'isha niknes. Inami, an alternative, sados bekesef giknu, right? And again, sados are required through kesef. So once again, this idea that kesef is effective and it is a kinyan. Therefore, tani ha'isha niknes, and that's the explanation, a little bit of a complex explanation, right? Then the Gemara goes on to say, v'nisni hasam ha'ish kone. So if that's the case, why don't we stick with the language of kinyan? So the Gemara says, mi'ikara tani lishna doraisa. We start the Masechta with Lishna Doraisa, the biblical language. Vilbasov Tani Lishna Drabanan. And then, you know, once we, you know, establish that, you know, initial tone, so then we move on in the second parak to Lishna Drabanan. Okay, interesting. Why do we need Lishna Drabanan if we have Lishna Doraisa? What does Lishna Drabanan contribute beyond Lishna Doraisa? Strange. So the Gemara says, am I Lishna Drabanan? What does that even mean? What is the language of Kiddushin anyway? So the Gemara says, "Da asar la akula alma ke hekdesh." Okay, very interesting. That the language of Kiddushin signifies that he, right, through the Kiddushin, puts her off limits to any other potential suitor, right? So, "Da asar la akula alma ke hekdesh." That's why we have the language of Kiddushin. So, very interesting. I'll just mention this quickly, but all the Rishonim are troubled by this explanation of the language of Kiddushin, because if Kiddushin means Asara Kula Alma Kehekdesh, so when he says to her Hare At Mekudeshes Li, is he saying to her, you are like a, you are Mekudeshesli, you are forbidden to me? Clearly not, right? So it's very, there's something doubly strange here. For some reason, we're pushing this Lishna Darabanan. It became, you know, even though it is Lishna Darabanan, it became the way that we identify the whole Masechta, Masechet Kiddushin, right? And it became the ubiquitous default, you know, formulation of marriage, Hareyat Mekudesh Asli. And it did this, even though, you know, it's problematic. Because Hareat Mekudesh Asli, Hareat Asur Kula Alma Kehekdesh Li. So Tosis discusses this. Tosis says, the Asur La Akula Alma Kehekdesh. This is the second Tosis on base on base. Tosis says, the Hareat Mekudesh Asli, the phrase Hareat Mekudesh Asli, Klomar, basically this is Tosis' way, when Tosis says Klomar, right, this is his way of asking a question and answering the question. Right, he's saying, i.e., in other words, I know it bothers you if the language of Kedusha is a language of off limits, right? Asara kul alma, which is what, if you make something a korban, right, you invest it with Kedusha. That means that, you know, it's off limits, you know, for you know, the routine, let's say, usage. So when I say Hareat Mekudeshes Li, it sounds like I'm working at cross purposes. That's what Tosa says. Klomar, Lios li, Mekudeshes li olam, Bishvili. Right? Meaning, you, Hare at, right? Mekudeshes, Lekola olam, li, Bishvili. Because of your relationship to me, right, you are off limits. It's an exclusive relationship, in other words, to me, i.e., you cannot have a relationship with any other individual. So you have to kind of read the words when you go to a wedding and you hear Hare At Mekudeshes Li, right? Instead of just like, you know, hearing it, like it's an issue to understand what it means. But isn't it strange that the Gemara, you know, that the Masechta is called and that the ubiquitous usage is taken from something which requires so much effort and explanation? Right? That's why I use Lishna Durabanan to begin with, and especially a Lishna Durabanan, which forces us to, you know, kind of darshan, you know, all you want to do is hear the vows, you know. Obviously, there's something about this complex vows which is important. So to take a step back, really, I'm just reading this first Amud and asking two questions. One is, why do we choose to characterize or to emphasize the Kinyan component of Ishus, number one. That's not what we call the Masechta. Why we have it in the beginning. Lishna Daraisa, that explains it. But Lishna Daraisa in order to introduce Kinyan Kesef. This is particularly a problematic phenomenon according to some Rishonim. When we learned Ksubas like two or three years ago, so we encountered the position of Rabosa of Shalrashi. The Rabbos of Shalrashi were of the opinion that Kiddushei Kesef is only Drabana. The Rambam also has a very problematic view, or a very challenging view, we'll say. The Rambam calls Kiddushei Kesef in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus, and again in Perek Gimel, he calls it Divrei Sofrin. Some people think that he meant that it was Drabana. The Raibid thought he meant Drabana. The Ramach felt he thought he meant it was Drabana. The Ramban thought he meant it was Drabana. The Chachmei Luniel, who wrote him a letter, they basically said to him, like, you really think Kiddushei Kesef is Drabanan? Why don't you think Kiddushei Shtar is Drabanan too? We'll get back to that. But the point is that what's fascinating is when you think about it from the perspective of the Rabbos of Shalrashi and the Rambam, it's even more, oh, excellent, thank you, more peculiar. And that is that, you know, we start off this Masechta with the language of Kinyan, which is a challenging formulation, right? We do so in order to introduce Kiddushei Kesef, and Kiddushei Kesef is not even Daraisa, right? Or according to the Rambam, we don't know what it is, but it's something called Midivrei Sofrim. I'll just read you the language of the Rambam. This is in Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. Actually, I think we do have it in the Mar Makomos, but Aleph Beis we have. The Rambam says, V'likuchen elam heina nikraim kiddushin o erisim b'chomakom. The Isha nicknames for Echad Mishlosha Dvarim Elu. Oh, no, I'm sorry, earlier. Vilikuchen Elu Mitzvah. Yeah, we do have it in the Marla Kamos. But either way, it's good you brought it to me because I need Paragimel I don't have. Or the piece in Paragimel that I want I don't have. So I'm just going to read it to you twice and just get a sense of it. Here, Parag. Right. If you look on starting from line 35 on page 2. Right? A woman is acquired in one of three ways. Niknes, the language of the first Mishnah, right? The kesef ubishtar ubibiyah, like the Mishnah. Bibiyah ubishtar min haTorah, says the Rambam. Ubikesef mi divrei sofrim. Okay, that's that famous, what does he mean by that? And the Raibid says, it's incorrect what the Rambam says. He made a mistake. And what caused him to make this error was that he had a wrong interpretation of a particular Gemara. Which particular Gemara? The Ravid thinks that the Rambam didn't read the Gemara in Ksubas and in Gittin and in Bava Basra, the famous Gemara of Avkin Rabban on the Kiddushimine, which we're not going to discuss right now, that he read it the way Rabos of Shalrashi read it, that he thinks that Kesef is Drabanan, and he was misled by the Shaklavatarya of that Gemara. The Rambam actually in a tshuva. The Chachmei Lanil says, no, no, I got it all wrong. It has nothing to do with that Gemara. There's a whole different basis for what I'm saying. But that's not for now. Again, in Paragimel, the Rambam repeats this. He says that, second, Paragimel Halacha, what is it? Chaf? Hamakadish Bibiya Harelu Kiddushay Torah. This you don't have in front of you. Kiddushay Bia is Kiddushin, biblical Kiddushin, Kiddushin Minatorah. V'chein Bishtar Miskadesh Es Bo Minatorah. Subtly different language, but okay. Shtar is also effective Minatorah. Right? Kashem Shagomer Megaresh Shanemar V'kosav L'Sefer Krisus Kach Gomer Machnis. We learn that from the Pasuk of Yatsa V'Hoysa, that, you know, where there's a parallel between a get and a shtar kiddushin. Avala kesef, says the Rambam, midivrei sofrin, is another girsa, v'chein dina kesef, din Torah uperusho midivrei sofrin. That's another girsa. Okay. He might have changed his mind in the girsa, actually. There's all sorts of reports of the Rambam editing his formulation on this important issue. Shenemar ki ikach ish isha, Rambam chachamim lekuchim elu yu bekesef, shenemar nasati kesef asad ekach mimeni. Either way, the point I'm trying to make is that there are two phrases that we use in association with Kiddushin, each of which raises some interesting questions. The first is the one that we first encounter, Kinyan. Right? A lot of people have, you know, been troubled. What do we mean? Acquisition? Like, what is that? We'll discuss that, but what do we even mean by that? The Gemara says, yes, we use that phrase because of Kiddushei Kesef. All I'm pointing out is, what a strange way to begin the Masechta. What a strange choice if the Kiddushei Kesef is only Drabanan, right? Or, according to the Rambam, whatever it means, Midivrei Sofer. Even if it's Daraisa, frankly, it's one of three, right, methods. And it's not the one that's Mefurash Bakra. So it might be Lishna Daraisa by a stretch, but it's still a strange way to, you know, to greet, new students of Masechet Kiddushin with Ha'isha Niknes. It's a little strange. On the other hand, the Masechet is called Kiddushin. That's Lishna Drabanan, right? The Asar Akula Alma Kehekdesh sounds like negative campaigning to some extent, right? Meaning we emphasize not that Heterisha Labala, but the fact that she's Asura Lekola Olam, right? And that caused us problems with interpreting, challenges at least, in interpreting what the Nusach of Kiddushin is. Hare at mekudeshes, li bishvili, right, hi asur lekol ha'olam. Like, why this emphasis? Both of these alternatives, I'm basically suggesting, are a little bit challenging. Okay. So, in order to appreciate better, you know, why we have this kesef, kinyan emphasis, and Kedusha, Asura, Kula Alma, Kehekdesh emphasis, each one, basically. One in the first parak, one in the second parak, you know, and throughout the Masechta, and in terms of what we do. So what I'd like to do is take a step back, look at the Psukim a little bit, and make another couple of comments about things that seem a little bit odd. And, you know, as we sometimes try to do, to try to show that these odd or idiosyncratic ingredients, you know, when they all come together, really provide us with a perspective which is very illuminating, not only of these problems but of the institutions that we're dealing with. That's the ambition here. Okay, so. Okay, what does that all mean? So look at the Psukim in Parshas Ki Teitse, which is this week's Parsha, coincidentally, I guess. Everything that I'm raising, again, you might want to disagree with my conclusions. Sounds like some people are, you know, come in already with that default position. I don't know whether it was the same one or not. I don't remember what we discussed then. But all I want to say, I don't want to defend myself at all, but what I do want to say is that the issues that I'm raising are issues. Right? You can you know, you might argue that there's a better solution to them, but certainly these are questions that everybody needs to be aware of, be sensitive to, because obviously they're intended, right, to convey something. So that is true about these psukim as well. The parsha of Kiddushin or Ishus in the Torah, the formal parsha of Kiddushin in the Torah, the halachic parsha of Kiddushin in the Torah, is the parsha in Parshas Kitetse, in Perek Chav Dalet of Dvar. Now, it is true that almost in the very beginning of creation, we have a discussion of you know, the union of a husband and wife, a man and a woman. We have, of course, the creation of you have the creation of the world, and then you have, you know, in the context of the animals, you have a kind of a period of arrivia as a bracha. Then you have the creation of man and the charge of pru or vu, right? Udegu bayam, which, you know, is different than the animals. It's a tzivui, not just a bracha, and it's also in the context of what makes man unique in his dominion over the world, which is partly expressed by his obligation of Piri of Arivia. Then you have, of course, the parsha of the creation of man, where we're told that, you know, the formula is going to be Ezer Kenegdo, right? Man and woman are going to be, you know, opposites, but parallels. They're going to complete each other by virtue of their, you know, diverse natures. Ezer Kenegdo. And Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado, right? And V'davak B'ishto, V'hoy L'basar Echad, Al-Kain Yazov, you know, Ish Asavim V'yasimo. We have right in the very beginning of creation, we have, you know, the creation of Chava, and we have this ideal of an existential bond between a husband and a wife, between a man and a woman, you know, V'hoy L'basar Echad, which, you know, Rashi, quoting the Gemara, says refers to, again, creating a family. But we understand that, you know, that has a dual meaning, meaning that the family is further cemented by the creation of new members, by bringing a life into this world. And, of course, bringing a life into this world has, you know, added meaning when it's done in the framework of a relationship and a bond, you know, which is characterized by Ezer Kenegdo and V'davak, you know, B'ishto. So the V'hoy L'basar Echad is both enhanced by and made possible by, you know, the V'davak B'ishto. So right in the very beginning of Bereishis, we have this ideal and we have this unit of husband and wife and V'davak, I say, B'ishto, and everything that is implied therein. But the real you know, halachic nitty-gritty of how marriage actually comes about and what that commitment is and the different phases of it, that really waits till Parshas Kitetze, almost in the end of the Torah. So, having waited very long time, again, we have Bnei Noach, you know, because, you know, we're addressing Adam HaRishon in V'davak B'ishto and V'hoy L'basar Echad and Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado and Al-Kein Yazov. That's all referring certainly also to Bnei Noach. But the parsha of Jewish marriage and the nitty-gritty of it, I said we had to wait a long time until Parshas Kitetze. So finally, when we get to Parshas Kitetze, you know, we read it with some measure of anticipation. Okay, and lo and behold, what do we encounter? Not what we would have expected, which would be Kiddushin as a standalone, as an ideal, as something that is being, you know, emphasized. We really find Kiddushin portrayed in the Psukim as the background for divorce, which is peculiar, very peculiar. Ki yikach ish isha uva'ala, that's the pasuk that the ki yikach is the kicha kicha, that's where we get the, you know, the kesef from that we just read. Uva'ala is kiddushe bia, right? So, you know, it doesn't even make half a pasuk, frankly. It's the background, it's the rekha, we would say. Ki yikach isha uva'ala, that's the background. And then it's v'hoyim lo timsa, already have trouble in the marriage. V'hoyim lo timsa chein b'einav, right? Ki matza ba'er v'azdavar, the cost of the sefer krisus v'nasam b'yada v'shilcha mi beso. So what happens is that, you know, there is this loss of affection. and it's Ervas Davar. That in itself is a problem. Is it Ervas Davar, which sounds like a, you know, transgression, a betrayal of the marriage, or is it, you know, Im Lo Timtzachein Be'inav, meaning a loss of chein, a loss of, you know, of this special connection that they have? Which is it? We'll discuss that in just a second. So it's because of, let's say, for krisus v'nasim b'yadav shulchan, it's basically three quarters of the pasuk is about divorce against the background of marriage. Then you have the next pasuk, v'yatza mibeso, that's part of the divorce, and then v'hocha v'hoysa lisha acher. Okay, so, you know, our you know, flagging hopes, you know, are being raised again that we're going to speak about marriage. She remarries, right? This, of course, is the pasuk, v'yatza, right, v'hoysa. Right, so meaning that's makish havaya liyitzia. That's where we get kiddush shtar from, right? Because it's derived from get, which is also fascinating, right? Instead, usnei ha'isha acharon, another divorce, right? Because of, let's say, for krisus, another divorce, right? V'nasa biyada v'shulcha mibeso. Oh, right, another downer. Ki yamus ha'isha acharon asher lekacha lo liisha. Right, he predeceases her. So lo yuchal bala harishon asher shulchal lashuv lekachta liyaso liisha achrei asher hutama ki toeva he lifnei Hashem v'lo tachtiyas aretz asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha nachala. So we start off, you know, with the background of kiddushin for the sake of introducing gerushin. Right, it also introduces kiddushei shtar, but obliquely. You know, then we have another quick marriage, you know, doesn't last very long, but for the sake, again, of explaining, you know, another hechatimsa of divorce. And then, even more peculiar than anything, is that all this, the second one leads to lo yuchal bala harishon asher shulcha lashuv lekach daliyaso liisha achrei asher hutama ki toeva yilifnei Hashem v'lo tachtiyas ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha nachala. Somehow, this poisoned marriage, or the circumstances of this marriage is relevant to life in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if you're not careful about these standards, lo tachtiyas aretz, literally you are, you know, soiling or you know, spoiling the land, and it's a toeva. And what is this exactly, this last apostle? So Rashi says that it refers to the betrayal of the marriage, right? Sota. Rashi says, achrei asher hutama. If you look at the Ramban, he quotes, Lirabo sota handesteres lashon Rashi. Rashi says that refers to sota. So you have this parsha of barely a kedushin to introduce gittin, right? And to introduce that if there's a situation of sota, then he cannot live with her. He must, they must separate. Uperusho, Isha, I'm reading the Ramban just for a second, Isha shazin satachas bala. Then the Ramban adds, "Avala sota handisteres bilvad lo noda shehi tmeya ve'ena overale avala avazet." There are two types of sotas, right? There's one sota where we know for sure that she betrayed her marriage vows, and that's what this pasuk is talking about. They cannot live together anymore. There's another sota where she's accused of that because it was a kinui, and then there was a stira, and then there's a whole procedure of sota, as we know. But, you know, up till that point, there's no, this Iser doesn't apply. V'chein b'furish perek rishon shal yivamo, says the Ramban. This idea that this pasuk is referring to sota is explicit in the Gemara in Yivamos. Okay. Mai v'nistera nivola, mai karole nistera lishne ma'alya noka. V'shalu nivola v'hejeksiv, right? Ksiv batuma v'nistera v'hinitma. To teach you that there's a law. We'll get a leave that out. Sorry. We'll stop here for a second. The Torah is telling you that even if he wants to continue to live with her, but he, you know, it's clear that she betrayed the marriage, that he is not allowed to continue in that marriage. So this is the parsha of kiddushin, right? Gerushin, sota, what's going on? It gets even better if we continue with the Ramban. The Ramban says, v'hineihem shnei lavin. Actually, this pasuk, this last pasuk, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shulchal l'shuv l'kachta liasol isha achre asher hu tamak ki toeva hi lifnei Hashem v'lo takti yisaretz asher Hashem lokachon asin l'cha nachala. This pasuk is really referring to two different situations, each of which is balav. It shares a lav. What is that? Yaz here, says the Ramban, b'machzir grushoso mishenises. It really refers to a situation where there was no betrayal at all. The following scenario, right? These people were married. Again, if he's a Kohen and he divorces his wife, and then he has regrets, or they both have regrets, and they want to remarry, they're not allowed to do that, because a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. That's a tragic situation. But, you know, sadly, they had to be divorced in order to, appreciate themselves or to reconnect, but that's not allowed. But if it's a regular Yisrael, and there's a divorce, so as long as there's no intervening, marriage that was consummated, there can be a second marriage between them. But if there was an intervening marriage, right, Mishanises, so then that's called Maksu Grushaso Be'isar, and that is prohibited. Says the Ramban, that's what this pasuk, this pasuk which says, Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon asher shulchal lashuv lekachta, liyal slo le'isha, her original husband cannot take her back to be a wife, achare asher hutama, has two meanings. It means if they're in a marriage and she betrays the marriage vows, even though he wants to continue the marriage, he's willing to forgive her. In other words, it doesn't make a difference. The marriage is over. It's not up to him. That's one. And the other thing it means is if they were in a marriage together and then they got divorced, nobody betrayed anything. Everybody was very noble in their behavior. Right, but for whatever reason, they thought that the marriage wasn't acceptable to them, so they got divorced. If she, in the intervening period, got remarried and then her second husband died, or she got divorced from him, right? The halacha is that he, being the first husband, cannot once again, remarry her. So it's very interesting, two things. Number one, that's the same pasuk as a betrayal of the marriage. No one did anything wrong in the second case. Right? They're a little flighty, obviously, but, stranger things have happened in terms of people's emotional, or whatever. But you can't compare a betrayal, an act of betrayal, to a situation where everybody was loyal in their marriages, but, when the marriage was over, she remarried. And now they want to have a second opportunity. No, that's a lav, and it's a toeva, and it's tumas haaretz. It's pretty harsh. And this is all one pasuk. And this is the culmination of this little parsha, which introduces marriage, frankly. It's almost like, the way I originally portrayed it, and I think that's true, it's like marriage is there to accentuate the divorce. Right, and then in addition, the marriage and the divorce are there to accentuate Machzir Grushaso. Machzir Grushaso is a pretty uncommon situation, right? Relative to the bigger issues of how many Machzir Grushaso cases are there, its prominence here in the Toeva and the Tuma is pretty striking. The Yaz here, the Machzir Ishto Shenitma business, Valderach Hapshat Achriya Sharutama. Lebala Rishon, Yer Moses, the Ramban's explanation, Ki Kasher Yada Ish Acher, Tachshov Lo Tmea. As once she is, physically involved with another person, another husband, then she is Tmea to him. Ve'ele mitzvos mechudashot beget ubechazira. Okay, we'll hold off on the rest of the Ramban for just a couple minutes. So what is really going on here? How could this be the parsha of marriage? We all go to weddings. We know the joy of a wedding. Chazal, we're very expansive about it, right? About me, b'sameach chasam b'kala. And what is all this? Oh, so I think if we take a step back, then maybe we could say the following. Number one, it's noteworthy that If you read the psukim that we're reading now, in a lot of the haftorahs that we're reading, psukim in Yeshaya in particular, you know, throughout Tanakh, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam is often characterized as a marital relationship. It's interesting what is considered to be, you know, parallel to Erusin and what to Nisuin. That's also quite intriguing. And there are some debates about that, like Matan Torah, other situations. But this idea of the paradigm of Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, Shir HaShirim, we know, is based on this principle. However, if you read the Psukim in Yeshaya, some of them anyway, it becomes clear that this is a very unusual marriage, right? Because this is a marriage without a divorce. Klal Yisrael always belonged to the Ribono Shel Olam. There's no parting of company. And in a sense, right, one could have thought, I mean, there are other religions, right, which believe in a doctrine of no divorce, right? You know, Catholic religion believes that you cannot divorce. Now, the truth is that's based on, a very compelling, perspective, right? Namely, the marital bond is not a frivolous one, and not to be entered into lightly, and therefore it has a permanent impact, right? The exit strategy, if you will, is perceived by those, perspectives as undermining. Certainly the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, there's no get because it's a defining relationship and there's no going back. I mean, you can't turn yourself into something else that you're not. And this is an element which doesn't allow for change. So the first thing to note is that there is Gerushin. Judaism believes in Gerushin, right? That in itself is fascinating, and it breaks from the pattern of the Ribono Shel Olam, in a way. But there are two ways, we learned Gittin a couple of years ago, I made this point as well, there are really two ways to look then at the get. One is that it reflects a more frivolous, perspective on the Ishus, meaning, it's a kinyan and it's a temporary or bond or an alliance, but, it's reversible. And, the fact that it's reversible indeed reflects that it isn't defining and permanent and existential, if you will. And, obviously that's not the position I'm going to take here. I don't think that's consistent with the way that Yadus looks and the halacha works, looks at marriage. So if the point is not that there's an exit because the bond itself, is not an ambitious one, so why is there a get? So I think the answer is for exactly the opposite reason. The paradigm of the Ribono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael aside, there needs to be an exit option in order to maintain the ambition and the quality and the spirituality of the marriage. In other words, if people are bound together, not just very strongly, but permanently, without any option, so then what is, a sanctified relationship and a relationship of mutual respect and affection and so on, obviously without the potential, for an exit, can become a jail sentence. It can become something which, quickly, deteriorates, right, into a very different kind of relationship. So in a sense, the get, in Jewish terms, right, is a kind of safety valve for the kedusha of the marriage. So maybe what the Torah is telling us is, it is a parsha of Gittin and so on. But the first thing we're being told is that Ishus has a get. And it doesn't have a get because it's trivial and frivolous, but on the contrary, as an investment in the fact that it's a davar shebekedusha. And this, of course, fits in very nicely with the next point, which is, what are grounds for geirushin? So the Torah tells us v'haya im lo timtzachein be'enav, and then it says kimatzah ba'ervas davar. Now lo timtzachein be'enav bepashtus means that the chein went out of the magic went out of the relationship, right? Kimatzah ba'ervas davar is an accusation, you know, that the core of the marriage has been betrayed. So which is it? So we know that in the last Mishnah in Gittin, there's a debate. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the only grounds, really proper grounds for divorce, is Ervas Davar, according to this Pasuk. But Beis Hillel, who are the opinion, and Rabbi Akiva, that, you know, Hikdicha Tavshilo, Matza Isha Na Heimenu, these are also grounds for divorce. So the point is, how to assess, is Beis Shammai the one who's the idealist, who believes in marriage, and in the sanctity of marriage, whereas Rabbi Kiva and Beis Hillel, you know, were soft on the bond and basically felt it was just a connection of convenience and nothing more, and therefore Matza Isha Na Heman or Ekticha, even Ekticha Tavshilo, right? She burnt the stew. It's okay to divorce, right? Well, we know, you know, it's fascinating because we know who Beis Hillel, you know, we know who Hillel was, and we know who Rabbi Kiva was, right? Hillel, in addition to their reputations and so on, but even in the matters of Ishus in particular and so on, Hillel, of course, was the most optimistic of men. He was an idealist. If anything, Shammai, you know, were somewhat more skeptical of human nature than Hillel. But Rabbi Kiva in particular, and everybody knows the story of Rabbi Kiva and his wife and his view on Ishus, and that's why his perspective on Shir HaShirim. So Rabbi Akiva was not a pragmatist when it came to marriage. He was the ultimate idealist. So what does all this mean? But the answer, of course, is that as a protection to the sanctity and the bond of the marriage, right, you need to have the capacity for get. We try to discourage a get. Chazal say that, you know, the Mizbeach itself cries, you know, when a marriage dissolves. And it's a terrible tragedy. It's a tragedy, greater tragedy when there are children, but it's a tragedy for the people who invested their hopes and their dreams and their idealism in a marriage. It's always a very terrible terrible tragedy. But obviously it's a necessary evil in order to ensure that when people stay together, right, that they don't feel trapped and they know they have options and they're there, you know, willingly. And for situations where there is a toxic relationship, one second, that develops, that no longer, be a kind of a heter, in the physical relationship when the mutual respect and all of that is gone. What Chazal sometimes call in the Gemara, in the Darim, and the Rambam quotes this, you know, grusha belev, the idea that people will stay together, that they will continue to live together, but they don't have that sense of mutual respect and so on, is really a terrible abuse. It's almost like a heter znus, which is what Chazal call it and the Rambam calls it. It's almost like a heter znus rather than the alternative of a heter znus or a divorce prefers a divorce. So the point is that if a person, you know, has reached the point where hikdicha tavshilo or ratza isha noa heimena, meaning if he has reached a point where, you know, frivolous or superficial issues annoy him so much that he's willing to throw out his marriage, that's a reflection that the bond of the Davak B'ishto and Ezer Kenegdo and V'hayu L'Basar Echad is long gone. So basically, what Chazal are telling us, we paskin like Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, is that Im lo timtzachein be'enav almost becomes the equivalent, in a certain respect, of kimatza ba'ervas davar. In other words, if you're going to stay together when you have such a low tolerance and where your perspective is so skewed, then in a way, this becomes a heter znus and not a marriage of kedusha. Yeah.
I don't want to be politically correct. But
politically incorrect or correct?
I don't want to be politically correct.
Okay, you usually don't have to worry about that, in my experience. Certainly you've proven that already today.
The way the Rambam is explaining it makes very much sense from the man's point of view, but it misses totally the woman aspect. as a potentially
trap. I hear the question. The Sefer HaBatim says that all that is, you know, he says, well, the Sefer HaBatim has this argument that, in a sense, the Ratzon Ha'ish and the Ratzon of the Isha are different in marriage. And that it can be, a man can be forced into a marriage under certain conditions. We'll talk about that, not tonight. But, you know, shotgun marriages, but a woman cannot. He says that's because to compensate for the get bal karcha. So, but I hear. I don't have a great answer for that. But, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the Torah itself, you know, puts the decision of gittin in the hands of the husband. Again, Chazal obviously compensated, you know, with Chemer and Gershom and so on and so forth, so that in practice the imbalance is much less. But it's a good question. But I don't think it affects the basic perspective. Yeah?
I mean, the whole Iker, though, was coming to Kodesh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, Nachem and Nachem Mami, the whole Nechama is predicated on that there is no escape.
Right. So therefore, everybody needs to, you know, create a modus vivendi. In other words, that the only permanent relationship and the relationship that can never turn completely sour is the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. Because that's the ultimate love story to Shir HaShirim. Right? And therefore, there's no gap. It's Haysah Ke'almana, right? But not a real Almana. That's what Chazal say, you know, in the beginning of Eicha as well. But that's the exception, but the exception that proves the rule. Because that's the Rabbeinu Shalom, so it's always, you know, a transcendent and a sanctified relationship by virtue of the parties that are involved, Klal Yisrael and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. But what we're saying is that when it comes to human beings, people who are flawed, who can, you know, go off the rails, so you have to work at the Kedusha. And it's only in the context of Kedusha, right, that the Ishus is a davar shebekdusha, and that is in a way challenged when there's been a deterioration in terms of, you have to work hard not to allow that deterioration to take place. But if in fact it has, then lo motzachein beinav, that's Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel's Chiddush, then you know, to stay together at that point, you know, when you can't recapture that sense of mutual respect and affection, becomes almost, as I say, a heter's nus and batzo bayar bastam, and that's the problem. So what I'm trying to suggest, basically, is that the Torah, by introducing, it, of course it does introduce, you know, the ishus as the background of the rest of the story, but by doing so, it also tells us something enormously important about the ishus. It tells us that there is a divorce, which protects the Kedusha and the marriage. It tells us that the divorce can take place because of the equation between Im lo timtzachein be'einav and umatzaba ervas davar. But even more important than that comes the last line. And that is, lo yuchal ba'la harishon asher shulcha l'shuv l'kach dalias l'isha achre asher hu tama ki to'eva hi l'fnei Hashem v'lo tachti yisaretz asher Hashem alokecha nosei mecha nachala. Which tells us two things. According to the Gemara Yevamos, it tells us that when a woman betrays her marriage vows, even if her husband is very liberal, magnanimous, whatever the case may be, he's willing to overlook it. So what's the problem? I mean, if husband and wife are willing to go on with their marriage, well, why does the Torah interfere? And why is that a toeva? And why is that tumas haaretz? The answer is because the Torah has certain standards for marriage of Kedusha that it is not willing to concede. Moreover, in the Ramban's interpretation, so all this leads up to what? To Machzer Grushaso? Right? That's a very rare case and a very, you know, it's first of all, the equation of Machzer Grushaso and Sota is very strange. So what's that all about? But of course, now I want to read the last three lines of the Ramban. The Ramban says about Machzer Grushaso, he says, V'zeh tam Velotachtius, this is line number 21. Let's go back to 21. Vitamalabazek, Kedeshalo Yachlifu Nishoseim, Zelaze. Yichtov Loget Baerev, Ubaboker, Hishava Elov. Vizetam Velotachtius Aretz, Kize, Siba Lachatoim Gedolim. Ubisifre Velosachtius Aretz, Lahazir Bezen Alkach. What Ramban says, basically, is that the Iser of Machzir Gushoso is an Iser that, again, no one did anything wrong, remember, right? No one betrayed the marriage vows. Everybody was totally loyal and you know, behaved appropriately, you know, during the period of their marriage. But the Torah says, you know what, we give you, if you're not a Kohen, we give you an opportunity, you know, to revisit or to reconnect this relationship. If the husband and wife want to try again, right, as long as there's no intervening issues and he's not a Kohen, that's fine. That's called Machzir Gushoso. Even that, it's an interesting issue. Is it a lapsing back into the old marriage in some sense? Or is it like a new marriage? There's questions whether or not, you know, you're allowed to have Machzir Gushoso B'chol HaMoed, for example, because the level of Simcha is considered to be less, and there's questions about Birchas Nisuin, and maybe even Birchas Seir. Well, a lot of very interesting issues and questions. But that is perfectly legitimate. No one did anything wrong. And on the contrary, if these people can find each other again, and maybe, you know, having, you know, been distanced from each other, realize, you know, what they always had, you know, it's a very beautiful story, in a way. But the point is that once she has moved on, and to go back to it, that already is in the category, as Ramban calls it, of shelo yachlifu nishoseyem zelazeh. Right? That becomes more like a heter znus, you know, where you've kind of lost that idealism and lost the kedusha. So what better way to highlight the kedusha of ishus than, you know, to explain why, you know, number one, there is a get and certain grounds for a get, which may look like a frivolous approach to ishus, but in fact is based on the sanctity of the ishus and the high demands of the ishus. Moreover, machzir grushaso, as rare as it is, in the end of the day, and sota, end up highlighting the ishus. You can't, the two of you, overlook the sota. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't overlook it. This ishus, which is a davar shebekdusha, has forever been disfigured or tainted, right, by what took place. By the same token, machzir grushaso, nobody did anything wrong, but to allow machzir grushaso, you know, at that point is essentially to be saying, you know, musical marriages, you know, is acceptable too, as long as technically, you know, every time there's a relationship between the parties, it's done in the framework of marriage, so you have more marriages, and, you know, there used to be this what is it, I forget the guy's name, the actor, the you know, they were married like
Richard Burton
and, right, Elizabeth. Yeah. And Elizabeth. So, like, you know, they can't, you know, but it was always Machzir Gushoso, right? So, like, it, you know, it was, and it was a Chuchot Lulav. Everybody understood it was a Chuchot Lulav. What?
In general, Hollywood marriage.
Oh. Is that politically correct, what you just said? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that the Parsha, while very quixotic in a way, in terms of this being the presentation of Kiddushin, in a way highlights the high demands of Kiddushin. But let me take it a step further. And that is that the Ishus itself, in particular, is intended, like, to address this very question of respect and kedusha, and avoiding any even hint of frivolity, or, you know, of perceiving the bond of ishus as something more more pragmatic. And that goes to the two questions that I began with, which is the Masechta calls itself kedushin after Lishna de Rabbanan, which is based on a negative campaigning to Asar Kul Alma Kehekdesh. And it even challenges how we look, or how we you know, interpret the wedding vow, the ubiquitous wedding vow under the Chuppah, right? Hare Ab Mukadeshes Li, right? Which you have to, according to the Bali Tosas, interpret as saying, right? Hare at mukudeshes asur lekola olam li bishvili, right? Like, why work so hard? And why kala masecht after lishna drabanan? And why lishna drabanan? That is a negative. That was question one question. The other question is, we start the Masechta, the first Mishnah, Ha'isha Niknes, with the language of Kenyan, which is fascinating, right? And then we say Kones Atzma, right? Why this language of Kenyan? And it turns out that it's for the sake of Kenyan Kesef, which is one of only three, learned out from Adrasha. And ironically, according to Rabos of Shalrashi, and according to the Rambam, maybe it's not Rabbanan, but it is Midivrei Sofrim, whatever that means. So the Lishna Daraisa, let's call it, of Kinyan, you know, comes from also an interesting point. And it is true that the method of Kiddushei Kesef is the ubiquitous one, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that Rav Mangid Amanda Mekadish Bebiya, meaning Rav, at a certain point, disallowed Kiddushei Bia. And that, of course, is very fascinating, because that's the one that's most Mefurash Bakra. And if you look at the Rambam, when he speaks about the three methods of Kiddushin, both in Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, but especially in Perek Gimel, Halacha Chaf, that I read before, and again, we'll see it going forward, in Pirshu Mishnayos, Sahir on Daf Beis on Aleph, and in Sefer HaMitzvos, if it's a Reishit Beis, the Rambam always emphasizes that Kiddushei Bia is the one that's most Mefurish Bakra, and then he says like Biyatzav Haisa, is one which is based on the connection between Havaya Ditzia, Gittin and Kiddushin, and Kiddushei Kesef is the one that's what I call the import from Choshen Mishpat, Kicha Kicha Misteyafra. But what's fascinating is that Rav was Manged Aman Bekadetetra. Rav said, we're not doing this anymore. The one that's Mefurish Bakra is the one that they decided we're not doing anymore. And then the Rambam describes it so beautifully in Perek Gimel that, they turned Kiddushei Kesef, which was seemingly the most, the one which was on the shakiest ground in terms of being effective, that became the method of Kiddushin. How many of you have ever been at a wedding, and seen Kiddushei Shtar? Anybody? Yeah?
Yes.
Wow, that's got to be a good story. I've been at a lot of weddings. I've never seen Kiddushei Shtar. But okay. What? Or there was a mistake in the Kesef, so people wanted to claim that the Sinas HaKesuvah was the...
It's a story.
What? It's a story. It's got to be a story. That much we know. So the point is that we... Right, not so many people are Mekadesh with Kesef either. I mean, the Sefer Chinuch says you should be Mekadesh with a Tabas. Anyways, which is what we do. The point I'm trying to make is that both Lishna Drabanan and Lishna Daraisa are strange. But I think that the answer, and especially this answer for the Rambam as we'll describe it, is very simple. And that is that the marriage, right, the goal of the marriage, of course, as we know, is v'davak b'ishto, v'hoi l'basar echad. It's the relationship, and it's the intimacy and the chai ha'ishus, which is all a part of that. However, the methodology is what we'll try to describe. How we do that, we start with ki ikah. This is the parsha, not of Nisuin, but of Erusin. Right? She's an ishus ish, even if there's no Nisuin, barusa. Ki ikah ish isho v'ala, and also v'yatza v'haisa, these three are not Nisuin. They're not. That's phase two. This is all phase one. This is all Erusin. And the point is that the Erusin emphasizes the Asar Kulalma Kehekdesh, and it emphasizes Kinyan. It emphasizes the legal part of marriage, the part of marriage that includes mutual obligations, commitments, and limits. And in that sense, one could say that there's the Nusach HaBracha of the Birchas Erusin is a very fast. We'll discuss it a little bit. We didn't discuss it last time when we learned Ksuvas because I think we went straight to Birchas Nisuin. But it comes from the Sugya and Ksuvas of Zayin Amud Beis. It's a very long and involved bracha. Asher Kedushanu Vitzotzav Vitzivanu Ala Arayos. And then it says the chasima that we have, so the Beit and the Rishonim, what the halach. Some of us had the Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael. We have Mekadesh Yisrael Ayidei Chupa VeKiddushin. So it's very interesting that the Gaonim already, you know, were troubled by this seal, this chasima. They said, like, why? I mean, all mitzvahs are expression of kedusha. Asher kedushanu b'mitzosa v'tzivan. Right? But we don't say, you know, al yedei tefillin. You know, mekadesh yisrael al yedei tefillin, mekadesh yisrael al yedei tzitzis, mekadesh yisrael. We rarely say mekadesh yisrael in the chasimah sabracha. But if we do, we certainly don't say al yedei. Why are we saying here mekadesh yisrael al yedei chupa v'kedushin in particular? But in a way, the Eirusin and what it brings to the Nisuin process is something which really typifies Kedusha. Right? The idea of Kedusha really is the idea of imposing limits that ensure a higher standard. You can't marry this person, can't marry that person, v'tzivanu ala arayos. And v'asar lanu asarusos. After Eirusin, right, there's no heter ishalabala immediately after that. Right, it's a kinyan, and it's an oser, as we'll discuss. The immediate impact of the kiddushin is to create a greater distance between the husband and the wife. In a way, that is very typical of kiddusha. Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. But even more important, the idea of kiddusha is the idea of havdalah. It's the idea of having very high standards. You invest in higher standards and in limitations in your conduct and your behavior in order that, you know, the choice, select, things that you do can be done on a level, right, which make them more meaningful and more significant. That's what Kedusha is. Kedusha is not negative. Kedusha basically harnesses limits and discipline and commitment, right, in order to pave the way for a greater accomplishment of a bond and of an experience. So in a way, the Parsha speaks about seemingly the get, the grounds for the get, Nasu Grushaso, that's where Kiddushin appears. Because all of that is a reflection of the fact that Kiddushin is a Darush of Kiddusha, you know, which has to be treated in a very particular way. And then the Masechta, which is called Kiddushin, the Asar Kul Alma Kehekdesh, and which starts with the notion of Kinyan, and particularly, I might add, Kinyan Kasef, which seems on the surface to be very far from the ideal, right, from this image, you know, that we have of joy and of a bond, right? It looks like a financial transaction initially, right? And again, the emphasis is not, you know, on the li, haret mukadeshas. Again, you have to darshan it. Haret mukadeshas li, you know, the li part and the kedusha, the asar kulama kehekdesh, are apparently two sides. We'll discuss it when we get to the formulations of the Rishonim on it, but they're, in some respects, two sides of the same coin. But what better way than Lishna Darabanan of Kiddushin, or the Lishna Daraisa of Kinyan, what better way than to highlight that these are investments in a commitment which is extremely deep and which has very high standards, and where the red lines are intended ultimately to pave the way to a more meaningful connection between the parties, a greater intimacy, but one which is transformed into an act of kedusha. Yeah.
Why shouldn't the chasim be the kedusha chuppah?
I'm sorry.
Why shouldn't the chasim of the bracha be the kedusha chuppah?
You mean instead of chuppah the kedusha?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. But I think there was such a girsa. Actually, the shultos have the girsas turned around, but we don't. I think the point is because in the end of the day, and we'll talk about this next week, the goal, you know, even as we're focusing on the investment part, and that, for the Rambam, as we'll see, is the mitzvah, maybe the Kiddushin, the Eirusin, right? The goal of the Eirusin, the mitzvah of Eirusin, you know, as a derech of Ishus, is in the end of the day to enhance the sanctity of the Nesu'in. So I think we mention chuppah, both in the text of the bracha and in the chasimas of bracha, we mention chuppah prior to kiddushin, even though we're doing it mizman, that there is no chuppah, as if to say, you know, we are dotting our I's and crossing our T's, right? We're creating, in a way, greater distance between chasan and kala in order that the level of commitment and mutual respect and all of that be there. The goal is not a cold marriage, right? It's ultimately a more trusting framework for a bond which is going to even be closer. So that's why I think we have chuppah prior to kiddushin, both in the text and in the chasimus habracha, as if to say, the mitzvah here, what we're doing is Eirusin, but it's l'shem, you know, a transformed perspective on the nesu'in. Okay, so that's the... Oh, I didn't realize where... Okay, so what I want to do, that's just the background. What I want to do now is take a little bit of time, to discuss whether or not there is a mitzvah of kiddushin and what that mitzvah really is according to different Rishonim. What I've described now is very much, in my opinion anyway, how I understand Shitas HaRambam in the matter of Ishus. I'd like to demonstrate that a little bit more and try to show you also that there are Rishonim who disagree, to be fair, right? So to be honest about it, there are Rishonim who don't see Erison's contribution quite... Well, I think they do, but they see it not in a stark, let's say, a contrasting way as I think the Rambam does. So what I want to do is discuss whether there is a mitzvah of Kiddushin, what its connection is to Piri of Arivia, what Piri of Arivia and Ishus' connection is to each other. Just talk about that a little bit more next week, and we'll probably spend a little bit on that, and then we'll start going straight through the Gemaras in the beginning of Kiddushin.